Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If we could all just raise our hands to heaven, I won't make you stand much longer, just a little longer. Jesus, we give you glory. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Just in your chair, say, Lord, breathe on me. Lord, breathe on me. You're like, what scripture is that? When Jesus came back, he breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Lord, breathe on us this morning. Holy Spirit, reveal the Son to us. We cannot know the Son if we do not know the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, breathe on us. Reveal the Son to us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Band, you can be dismissed. Andrew, could you help me out just another minute or two? I appreciate that. Whew, hallelujah. Can we give it up for the band? How beautiful, how wonderful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I currently pay for Andrew's finger physical therapy for making him stay longer, but, you know, small price to pay. Hallelujah, hallelujah. So today, back during the 21-day fast, if you've been with us, you know we fasted for 21 days back in January. And during the fast, the Lord dropped a message in my spirit, man. And I was like, oh, Lord, I'm really excited to share that whenever you ask me. And then like 3 days later, Alex texts me, Pastor Alex, and he goes, hey, what are you doing March 23rd? He's like, I feel like you should preach. And I was like, thank you, Holy Ghost. And the message has evolved from the Lord. That's why I was joking with Brennan, who's running slides. I said, I gave you the scriptures. I have no idea what order they will be in because I've written this message 5 different ways, and each time it's been different. And so what I felt like the Lord wanted to do today is he wanted to reveal to us exactly who Jesus is. See, like, we use the word know in the English language very, very diversely. I know Tom Brady because you've watched him on TV. I know Oprah because you saw her on TV. I know Stone because I shook his hand once. But that's like an acquaintance or just information. But do you know Jesus like you know your spouse or your best friend? Until you know Jesus closer than you know any other human being, you will always be lacking something. I will read scripture to prove that. But until you know Jesus closer than you know any human being, you will always be lacking something because there is a God-shaped hole in every human being and it can only be filled with the presence of Jesus Christ. No other God can save you. Buddha can't save you. Muhammad can't save you. Krishna can't save you. You ascending to Christ consciousness cannot save you. Those things are wasteful. Those things can never save your soul. And if you look into those things, it's what can you do to earn spirituality? But Jesus Christ said, here's what I did so you could receive eternal life. There is only one God on heaven and earth which someone can be saved, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, I believe each one of us will receive a deeper revelation of the Lord Jesus. And so if you're in for that, go ahead and clap your hands, shout hallelujah, give the Lord a praise. Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate that, brother. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ah, it is so nice to preach above a music bed, meaning music right below me. That's very nice. Hallelujah. So I'm going to start us off here in Genesis 1 today. Brennan, I'm going Genesis 1:11. What I want to reveal to you first is where was humankind created to exist? Where were we created to exist? And if you look at Genesis 1, verse 11, hallelujah, he's got it in the NLT, that's what I had. I was like, oh no, I brought my wrong Bible. But anyways, verse 11. Then God said, let the land sprout with vegetation. He spoke to the land, and it sprouted vegetation. Go ahead and jump with me to verse 20, Genesis 1, verse 20. Then God said, let the waters swarm with fish and other life. Let the skies be filled with birds of every kind. He spoke to the environment which that creation was supposed to live in. Plants live in the ground. Fish live in the waters. Birds live in the sky. Let's go to verse 24. Then God said, let the earth produce every sort of animal. Animals live on the ground. Animals walk in the ground. Are you tracking with me in all of that? Let's go to verse 26. Where or who did God speak to when he wanted to create humans? Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make human being in our image to be like us. God turned to Jesus and Holy Spirit. They're the Godhead 3-in-1. And he spoke to himself. And he said, let us create man in our image. He spoke to the waters and said, let fish be there. He spoke to the sky, let birds be there. He spoke to himself and he said, let us create man in his image. Let man live inside of us. And if you live your life outside of the presence of God, you will always notice something's missing. Even as a Christian, you can be saved and you'll go to heaven. But when you get there, you'll realize I missed out on part of what my life could have looked like. There is only one way to live, especially in these last days, and it's inside the presence of God. It's a manifestation of his glory. It's the sweet fragrance of the Lord. It's the peace which passes all understanding. It's as simple as Holy Spirit, come. You might be at work. Holy Spirit, come. There is no environment where he does not exist. Paul wrote in the epistles, he said, He was ministering to, I believe he was in Greece, and there's a bunch of pagans with a bunch of pagan idols. And then finally there was this last idol that they said, like, this is the God we don't know, the unknown God. And he's like, that's the God, that's my God, that's the real God. And he said, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. That means Jesus Christ dwells everywhere. And no matter where you are, if you call upon him, he will manifest his glory upon you. So man was created to live inside of God. We know that Adam and Eve sinned, separating us from God's presence. But then Jesus Christ, who was named the second Adam, came back and restored us to that initial covenant. In fact, he gave us a better covenant under better promises so that we don't have to be separate. The problem is, God allows what you allow, and he stops what you stop. The scripture says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. So you say, Nate, if I have these promises, why am I having migraines? Why am I struggling with negative thoughts? God allows what you're willing to allow. And God will stop what you're going to stop. The word says in Luke 10:19, actually go ahead and flip with me there. If you want to pull it up, Brennan, I'm in the NLT when I'm in the papers. Luke 10, verse 19. Jesus speaking to the disciples. Luke 10, verse 19. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk, or another translation says, trample upon snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will by any means harm you. And the snakes and scorpions is speaking of unclean spirits and demons. But if Jesus gave us all authority, then why don't we all walk in that authority? You can only walk in the authority to which you understand it. I might work for a company and I might have a badge that can get me into these special rooms inside the company where I have greater authority, but if I don't know my badge can do that, if I don't walk up to that door and scan it, I'll never enter in. And so too, so many of us, we've been taught a watered-down gospel where basically we get saved, and then we struggle till we die. Oh, we'll get it in the sweet by and by. That's not what the scripture says. That's not what the scripture says. Come on, I love my Baptist and Pentecostal friends, but that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, before even he poured out the Holy Spirit, Jesus gave his followers all authority over the power of the enemy, and nothing will by any means harm you. When you begin to walk in that authority and that revelation, the devil freaks out. And that's part of that way that happens is the manifestation of the Lord and living in his presence. See, you can't come to the place where you're walking in all authority and power if you haven't first came at the Savior's feet and poured out your oil upon his feet. You can't walk in Jesus' decrees and authority if you don't know him. We see that with the seven sons of Sheba. They go and they try to cast out a demon in the name of Jesus, but they didn't know Jesus, and the demons turn to them. They go, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? And then that one demon-possessed man, you can read it. He rips off all the seven guys' clothes and they run away naked, screaming and crying. And basically, I've seen a lot of Christians kind of operate that way. Thankfully, they've kept their clothes on, though. But it's like, why do we so easily give in to fear when God is love? God is love. God is love. And so today, the title of this message is called Intimacy, Knowing Jesus. And my hope is that we will leave here knowing Jesus closer, with an encounter, experiential knowledge, revelation knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you've never surrendered your life to him today, he brought you here for a reason. He wants you to realize how much he loves you. It is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. So we're going to start the message. That was just the prequel. We're going to start in Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 19. I'll be in the New King James if you're on the Bible app. If your phone's a temptation, just use the screen behind me. Hallelujah. This is Paul writing to the church in Ephesus, and he says in chapter 3, verse 14, "For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man." Say, I'm strengthened by the Holy Spirit. There you go. Come on. Verse 17, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height." Verse 19, "To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Above everything else, Paul prays that they would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. And what happens once you know the love of Christ? You will be filled with all the fullness of God. You say, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God. Have you given him every area of your life? I want to be filled with the fullness of God, but I'm not willing to give up my Sunday afternoon, Lord. I want to be filled with the fullness of God, but I'm not willing to go on that outreach. What if I meet someone I know? I want to be filled with the fullness of God, Lord, but I don't want to pray in tongues. I want to be filled with the fullness of God, Lord, but what if somebody thinks I'm weak? What if somebody mistakes my love for softness? Well, I don't know about you, but the scripture says the righteous are as bold as a lion. So this real kind of love, God love, is bold love. It's fearless love. It says there is no fear in perfect love, but perfect love drives out all fear because fear has to do with torment and fear of punishment. You have not been made perfect in love if you're still living in fear. But today, God is going to break that off. Today, that's going to break off of you. If you believe that, say amen. Hallelujah. So that word, in verse 19, the Greek, the word to know the love of Christ is the Greek word ginosko. And if I didn't pronounce that right, and there's a native Greek, I apologize. But what it really means, it means to learn, to perceive. But what it means here, it's to know intimately. And that word is actually used to describe the way a husband and wife know each other. And so Jesus is saying, it's not enough, like, coming here is beautiful. Worshiping here is beautiful. But if I only hung out with my wife here, I wouldn't know her like I know her. Only I know her like a husband. Only I'm there when we're just hanging out, us two. Nobody has to ask me what I would do in a situation. They could ask her because she's spent so much time with me. She knows every aspect of me. And so she can tell, oh, this is what Nate would do here. That's what Nate would do there because she knows me. And until we know Jesus like that, we don't fully know him. And what I'm telling you is I don't want the first time I see Jesus' face to be when I'm passing into eternity. I want to see Jesus here while I'm alive and living. How can you say that? Paul saw Jesus. Peter saw Jesus, but he also saw him in the spirit. We can encounter the Lord here. What is the Lord's prayer? It says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." If God's will was to create us to live inside of him, to live in his presence, to be in communion and union with him, and his will, we're praying that Jesus told us to pray, make that will come here on earth as it is in heaven. That means we can encounter Jesus today. We can encounter Jesus right now. Jesus can walk into the room of your heart, as Revelation 3:20 says, and he can dine with you forever. And the beautiful thing is you don't have to let it go. You don't have to go backwards. You don't have to go backwards. When the devil says no, God says yes. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This is Jesus speaking, and he says, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?" What does Jesus say in verse 23? "I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." I'm sure you can guess that word "knew" is the Greek word ginosko. I never knew you intimately. You went about and you were my employee. See, if you don't love Jesus, you're just an employee of God. And you just go about doing tasks and you act like he's a taskmaster, but that's not what he called you to. Jesus didn't die for you to be his secretary. Jesus died for you to be his son and daughter. Jesus wants you to have an abundant life. What does John 10:10 say? The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. The NLT says a rich and satisfying life. That really makes the poverty people mad. The people who, and by poverty people, I mean somebody who preaches poverty. I'm talking about cessationists and reform movements who they're on a seven-figure salary with three multi-million-dollar homes. They charge $380 for you to come to their conference, and they tell you that God doesn't want you to be wealthy. They tell you that wealth is evil, money's evil, etc. But yet they seem to flourish in it. That's really weird. That's really hypocritical. And so if you have somebody in your life who's going to try to preach at you like that, just realize that's probably where they're coming from. They're probably listening to a preacher like that. And yeah, you can tell I don't like that. God bless them. And so I'm here to tell you today, if we call ourselves Christians, we need to love Jesus. We need to love Jesus the way he wants to be loved. It's not, oh, Jesus, I'll love you on my own terms. Like, oh, Jesus, I'm going to the club tonight, but tomorrow morning I love you. It's, I love Jesus every moment of every day. Actually, I meant to do this at the beginning. Pastor Chuck, would you stand for just a minute? I want to honor Pastor Chuck. If you clap for him, just trust me. Thank you. You can take a seat, Chuck. I want to honor Pastor Chuck because he's the one who revealed to me the love of the Father. He revealed to me how much Jesus loved me. I was a New Age practicing, LSD tripping, marijuana smoking punk who hated Christians. I would openly tell you how much I hated Jesus and all this crazy stuff. And he put up with all my nonsense, plus the prayers of my family. And I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for those people in that row. So I love you all. Thank you so much. Yeah. Hallelujah. And something he did that other Christians weren't doing, I would go to debate them, not like publicly, but like, you know, if someone was a Christian, I had my cannons loaded. I was like, I'm about to dismantle your religion. And what he did is he stopped trying to interact with me in the intellect. He stopped allowing me to try to fit my mind into things. Instead, he just started telling me the scripture. He started talking to me about the Holy Spirit. He started praying for him. He started telling me about the goodness of God, the love of God, about how our heart attracts situations. Proverbs says that. It says the issues of life spring forth from the heart. And of course, if you've ever read anything about New Age, or even it's getting into business practices now, you know, like the law of attraction, all these different things, everyone's trying to tap into these. See, just like gravity is a law, God created laws in the spirit too. The abundance of the heart attracts things. That's just a law. You don't have to be a pagan or a Christian for that to happen to you. Now, praise God, Jesus Christ, it says that Philippians 4 says that if we keep our minds focused on Jesus, he will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. So he is a shield to us, and he can actually protect us from those things. But long story short, I wouldn't be here today if I didn't encounter the love of God, because the intelligence of religion wasn't going to do it for me. As we joke, the Godhead 2-in-1 wasn't going to save my soul. I needed the manifestation of God's presence, and that is the Holy Spirit. And so, yes, hallelujah. And so we see that. We see that Jesus said, depart from me, I never knew you. Well, how do we know him? 1 John 2, verses 3 through 6. I'm basically just going to be reading scripture today with my little excerpts. 1 John 2, 3 through 6. Now by this we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Say, I know God, and I love God when I keep his commandments. I'll read you his New Testament commandments here in a minute. It's so much easier. Matthew 22, 37 through 40. This was a man who came to Jesus, and he said, how do I know I'll inherit eternal life? And Jesus replied, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all your strength. This is the first and great commandment. So that's commandment number one, love God with all you are. The second commandment is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything of you trying to earn it, do not murder, do not steal, do not commit adultery. If you simply loved like Jesus loves, you would never do those things. And what does the scripture say? It says, as many as are led by the Spirit, those are the sons and daughters of God. If we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And so the goal of life isn't to stop sinning. The goal of life is to fall in love with Jesus. And a fruit of that love is you'll stop sinning. Did you know the wages of sin is death? Most of the problems that are going on in your life are probably relative to sin at some point. And Jesus, it says that he came to set the captives free, to heal the brokenhearted, and to bind their hearts up. to deliver those who need deliverance. I'm here to tell you today, whatever you need, you just need to look unto Jesus. You just need to look unto Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How do we look to Jesus? Hebrews 12, verse 2. We look to Jesus. So do I see Jesus in the natural? No, I don't see him sitting next to stone in the natural. I see him in my spirit. The Bible says, I am seated with Christ in heavenly places. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. When I took this stage, I didn't take this stage as Nate Baker alone. I took this stage as I'm coming in the name of the Lord. The Lord is in me. He is with me. He cannot be separated from me. I'm a man of might because Jesus is in me, not my own strength. I do not rely on the strength of my arm. I rely on the strength of the Lord. And Hebrews 12, 2, in the spirit, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so when I close my eyes, I don't just see myself in this room or a blank canvas. I see the Lord Jesus with me. I see the Lord Jesus leading me. I am led by his spirit. I was praying the other day, and the Lord just began to give me pictures of this service and what it will look like. How did that happen? It happened in my inner man, and that happens from knowing him. And I'm not special. Anything you see any person doing can be done by you. Christ didn't die for a few people. He died for all people. And if you read it, it says in Acts 2, in those last days, I will pour my spirit out on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Every single person is included in that. And the Bible tells us that we are all called to preach the gospel, whether you're actually doing that as an occupation or if you're just doing that in your life. We are all called to make disciples. We are all called to share the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. And here's the thing. If you're like, I don't know how to do it, start quoting scripture. The Bible says the word is a seed, and it carries within it the power to fulfill itself. When you don't know what to say, just start reading the scripture. If you're like, I don't feel anointed, the word's anointed. So just start using it. The Bible, the word of God is just as powerful in your mouth as it is in Jesus's. And so if you're speaking that word out, it's going to bring forth the will of God in your life. So again, we look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for who the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Isaiah 26, 3. This is really interesting. You will keep in, so this is talking about God. You will keep him in perfect peace. God will keep us in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you. Now that word mind is not really mind. That word is imagination. That word is the thing you picture inside of your mind, the way you perceive life. Another way to describe it is it's the way you conceive reality. Do you see things going your way, or do you see everybody's always against you? Do you see yourself struggling and addicted, or do you see yourself victorious? That actually starts in your imagination, whether you believe it or not. It starts in your heart. And it says, God will keep us in perfect peace when we keep that part of ourselves. That word is yetzer. If you want to look it up, Y-E-T-Z-E-R. If we keep it stayed on him, if we just picture Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, we will never, ever lose our peace because we'll always be trusting in him. We'll always be trusting in him. How do we see Jesus? Matthew 5:8 tells us, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you ask yourself, I'm not seeing God, have you let Jesus purify your heart? Or is there a part of your life where you're like, Jesus, I love you, but I won't give you this part. Jesus, I love you, but I can't let you in here. It's too shameful. Did you know Jesus saw the most shameful thing you've ever done? He saw the worst of the worst, and he saw it as he went to the cross. Did you ever realize that? That Jesus was God. He lived outside of time. He came born in the flesh. He put on flesh, but he was still fully God. And so when he went to that cross, he said, you know what? I see what you did here. I know what you're going to do that day, and I'm going to die on this cross so that you don't have to. I'm going to die on this cross so that you can be forgiven, so that the bondage of shame and oppression can be broken. And I prophesy today in the name of Jesus, if anyone is in here with shame, oppression, condemnation, if you're ashamed of your past, if there's something that's holding on to you, in the name of Jesus, I prophesy it will break today in the name of Jesus. It will break today in the name of Jesus. It will break today in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 24, 3 through 4. Psalm 24, 3 through 4. Who may ascend in the hill of the Lord, or who may stand on God's holy mountain? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully. We see if you live your life pure, and guess what? You can't purify yourself. Scripture tells us your good works are like dirty female hygiene products, is actually what the original language means. And so your good works cannot get you to heaven, but Jesus' blood can. And Jesus' blood can purify you and wash you clean of all the gunk that happened. Jesus, what does it say? It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The Bible says that we have died with Christ on the cross. We have been born again, and we are new creations in Christ. The former is no more. Did you know God doesn't remember your sins? Why are you still remembering them? Did you know God says that he will separate your sins as far as east is from the west? God says that he is not ashamed to call you a son or a daughter. All who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But what do you have to do? You have to open your mouth and call on him. You have to call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. And so this all brings me to, again, we're talking about intimacy. We're talking about knowing God. But what motivates God? Because I find it really interesting that if we don't know someone's motive, it can be hard to trust them, right? What is God's motive? Well, hopefully everyone here knows this verse. And if not, it probably just means you weren't churched. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Say that with me. Let's read this together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's that easy. That's the gospel. God loved the world. He was motivated by love. He said, he pointed at me and he said, you little new age punk, I see you cursing the name of Jesus. I see you doing all these things. I love you. I know you're only living this way because you've never really met me. I know you're only living this way because you don't know who I am. And so I'm going to send my son, the most precious thing, to the Father. And I'm going to let him bleed and die and be tortured by humans who he could just stop in an instance because he had that much power. And he's going to go to hell. He's going to kick the devil in the face. He has a permanent dent in his skull. And he's going to rise with the keys of death and Hades. He has conquered death. He walked on the earth. Over 500 people saw him in his resurrected form. He said, Thomas, come touch my hands. Come touch my side. The Lord was pierced for us. And he ascended to where he is now seated in glory. And the Bible says when you're a Christian, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. If the word's cutting your heart today, if the Lord is piercing your heart today, let him in. If the Lord is piercing your heart today, let him in. I heard a great pastor, Michael Koulianos from Down in Jesus' Image. He said, people who aren't in love with Jesus just become employees. And their driving force is not love, it's achievement. How many seats can we get in the building? How many people came to our altar call that day? How many people did we baptize this week? How good's our Instagram post? They're not motivated by love. They're motivated by achievement. And the Bible says you will reap what you sow. And so if we're not sowing love, how could we reap it? And if the Bible tells us God is love, then how can we receive him if we're not trying to sow love? So this all brings us to the point where maybe you're sitting there and you're like, oh my gosh, this is me. Jesus, I want to know you more. Jesus, I want to love you more. Jesus, I want you more. It's really simple. Revelation 2, verses 2 through 5. And you might be, you're probably a wonderful person. You're just realizing I've left my first love. I let my heart get a little cold. Life got a little busy. I understand how that can happen. But thank God it just takes one moment in his presence to restore all the years that locusts have eaten. Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 through 5. I know your works. This is Jesus speaking to the church of Ephesus. He goes, I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. That sounds good. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars, and you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Those sound like good Christians to me. What does Jesus think, though? It doesn't matter what I think. He said, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. They had left their first love of Jesus, and they were operating as Christian employees instead of as Christian sons and daughters. What does he tell them to do? Remember, therefore, see, they weren't stuck. They weren't in trouble. He gives them a call to action. He goes, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. How do we know Jesus closer? How do we return to our first love? It's as simple as repentance. It's as simple as saying, Jesus, I'm so sorry. He doesn't need some soap opera. He's a real person. Did you know Jesus is a man? Did you know he's a man and he's seated in heavenly places? Did you know that it says God made us in the image of God, male and female, they made us. And so it's like, what does God look like? He looks like you. He looks like her. He looks like him. He's a man. So he's a man. So he doesn't look like her. But you know what I'm saying? He looks like a human. Like, my Hispanic friends, they're a Hispanic version of God. My Anglo-Saxon friends, you're an Anglo-Saxon version of God. My African friends, you're an African version of God. But when you look in the mirror, that's God. That's God. You're not God. He lives in you, but he made you in his image. So when you wonder, how many ears does God have? He has two. That's why you know the whole Hindu religion is false. hallelujah. God made man and women in his image. And if he made us in his image, then we should dwell in his presence. 1 John 4:19. Why do we love Jesus? We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. And so I'm here to tell you today, if you haven't experienced the love of Jesus, then I understand why you don't know him as well. If you haven't experienced the love of Jesus, I understand why you haven't given him his life. That may apply to some people, given him your life. That may apply to some people here. If you haven't experienced the full love of Jesus, I understand why you've been afraid to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you haven't received the experienced the full love of Jesus, I understand why your life isn't bleeding love for the Father. And this is not a condemning message. I pray that this is bringing you hope. I pray that this is bringing you hope. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Ben, would you come join me on the stage? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I'm going to read one more scripture. Before I do, I'm going to Revelation 3:20, but before I do, I just want to say this again. You didn't qualify yourself to be saved and loved by God. He loves you no matter what. He saw everything you did. He saw everything you said. He saw every person you hurt. And he says, I love them. I want to die so that they might live. My friend Chris Kildosha, he's an evangelist. He says, you don't clean yourself up to take a shower. You get in that shower dirty, and the shower makes you clean. You don't clean yourself up to give your life to Jesus. It's his blood that cleanses you, and that blood and that washing is once and for all. We have to shower daily, or at least, you know, most of us do. But with salvation, it's a one-time thing. Unless you, of course, willingly walk away from the Lord, once you're saved and you're walking with him, you can't lose your salvation. Now, if you walk away from the Lord, absolutely, you can lose your salvation. You can do whatever you want, you know? But if you really love him, you can't lose your salvation. I feel like someone's been afraid, am I really saved? Am I really saved? There's been a fear regarding your salvation. And the Lord is saying, do you love me? 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 Do you confess me before people? That's how you can know if you're really saved. And if you're on the fence and your heart's condemning you and you don't have faith to believe that, I do welcome you to come up to this altar here in a moment. Because then you'll have a memory in time where you'll be able to say, I know for sure. That day, I know for sure. Revelation 3, verse 20. This is Jesus talking to every single person here. No matter how much you know him, you can always know him more. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. What would you do if Jesus knocked on your front door? You can close your eyes if you'd like. Shokodo, thank you, Lord. What would you do if Jesus knocked on your front door? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Where is he knocking? He's knocking on the hearts of men and women. Right now, I believe the Lord, we're going to have a moment, and I believe the Lord's going to knock on your heart. No matter how much you know him, invite him in. If there's a single place in your heart you haven't yet given him, give him the whole thing. He wants your whole heart. He wants you to be wholehearted and wholeheartedly in love with him. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Just let him touch you. Just let him touch you right now. Don't hold him back. He loves you. He's safe. He's safe. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door of their heart, I will come into them and dine with them, and they will be with me. Every eye closed. If you have your heavenly language, you can just quietly pray in the Spirit. If you don't, you can just say thank you, Jesus, or don't say anything at all. I've been in moments like that where I just couldn't speak. The Lord was touching me. Oh, pray, church. Pray that he would pierce every heart in this room, that we would know him deeply, that we would know the love of God, that we would know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Pray with me, church. Father in heaven, I ask that you would fall afresh on every soul here, Lord, that you would not leave one stone unturned, Lord, that you would open the eyes of their heart, that they may see and experience the width, the depth, the length, and the breadth of your love for them, Lord. Lord, may no one leave here saying they did not experience your love. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for a manifestation of your love in this room. Lord, I ask, wonderful Holy Spirit, blow through the room. Blow through the room. We're not here for a man. We're not here for a woman. We're here for you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord.
To reach out and touch you.
You know the song, you can sing along. Otherwise, let the Lord just touch you. Just let the Lord touch you. Don't rush away. Don't rush from this moment. Don't rush from this moment. Keep going, Andrew. That's beautiful. Don't rush from this moment.
I want to see Jesus.
Don't let the busyness of life take you from the touch of God today.
And say that I love.
Ask him to open your eyes.
And open my eyes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Touch every person. Wonderful Holy Spirit, we cannot do it without you. Breathe on us, O breath of God. Breathe on us, O breath of God. Breathe on us, O breath of God. God loves you. God loves you. Whoever you are, God loves you. God loves you. Let that pierce your heart today. I know it's been stony. I know it's been hard. I know you've locked it to survive because you couldn't handle the pain. But God loves you, and he is piercing your heart today. Let him in. You don't have to carry that pain past the cross. You don't have to carry that pain on your shoulder. He already did. But you have to give it to him. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
So open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. To reach out and touch him. And say that I love.
Surrender, whoever that was, yes, just surrender, just surrender. Your life is worth it. Your reputation's not worth it. Your life is worth it. Give it to him. Press in a little bit with me, church. Those who have bolder faith, press in with me. Press in with me. God wants to touch someone today, and they need your faith. They need your help, church. Pray in the Spirit. Pray in understanding. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pray for their soul. Quickly. Nobody move. Just stay where you're at. Just stay where you're at. If you came here today and you said, I didn't know Jesus like I thought I did, I want everyone to close their eyes. If you came here today and you said, I didn't know Jesus like I thought I did, and either he's touched you or you want to know him more, in a moment I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm going to do multiple things, so it'll be all a group at once. You'll be raising your hand. If you want to know Jesus more, I'll ask you to raise your hand in a minute. He's going to touch you by that act of faith. If you came here today and you said, I didn't know Jesus at all, I don't know Jesus, but I want to. My heart is pierced. I felt this before maybe, but I never really let him all the way in, or I let things grow cold, and I want to know him again. I'll ask you to raise your hand as well. If you want to know him more, or if you don't know him at all and you'd like to, would you please just be bold and raise your hand? Every eye closed. Every eye closed. Raise your hand to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He sees those hands. Don't worry about me. It doesn't matter what I see. I can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you, and he sees your hand, and he's flowing into your heart right now. If that was you, I'm going to have you repeat a prayer after me. You can stay in your seat. You can stay in your seat. I'm going to have you repeat a prayer after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe you are God. I believe you created me in your image. I believe, church, if you want to pray, pray with me. I believe that you made me for you. I believe I was created to live in your presence. I renounce the things of the world. I renounce my past. I renounce what I thought would satisfy. I want to follow you, Jesus. I believe in my heart that you are God. And I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and that God raised you from the dead. Hallelujah. I am saved. I repent for all of my sins. I repent for all of my sins. One clean swoop. The Lord Jesus cuts them off. I'm sorry, God. I repent for my sins. Come fill my heart. Flood my heart with your mercy, with your grace and your glory. I will not carry this beyond the cross. If you need a picture, picture yourself laying all of that gunk down at the foot of Jesus and look up at him. The sun is bright. He is smiling. And he says, you are saved. Say it with me. I am saved. I am born again. I am a child of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Open my eyes, Lord.
Just receive it. Ministry team, come up.
To see Jesus.
If you want prayer, come to the ministry team on either side. Hallelujah. If you want prayer, come up front. They're coming. They'll be here. They'll be ministry team on both sides.
And say that I love him.
If Jesus is touching you, just stay in your seat. Let him touch you.
Open my ears, Lord.
Hallelujah.
And help me to listen.
He wants your whole heart. In a hurry. If you need to go, you're more than welcome to. We're not going to judge you. We love you. We understand people have things going on. Maybe you have a little one. But if you want to stay here, the Lord's here. Can I hear an amen? And if you want to stay in his presence and just let him minister and touch you, the sanctuary's open. The team's going to continue worshiping. Whatever you guys are feeling in the spirit, if it's that same song, praise God. Just stay in. Let the Lord touch you. Did you know one moment with God can change everything? One moment where you disappear with God and his knowledge and his love can change everything. If you have questions, you can come find me. You can find our ministry team. If you want prayer, if you want a touch of the Lord. If you feel like there's been something blocking your heart and you can't quite enter in, let us pray for you. You know, the word says the prayer of a righteous person carries great power and produces wonderful results. If something has you bound, come find us. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, we'll blast that thing back to hell. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, everyone. Bless you. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.